Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women. We focus on the Latinx presence in the comic book industry.
With a strong special focus on strong female characters and creators.
Hi guys, welcome back to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. This is episode 31. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
Hi, I'm Kristen.
And hi, I'm Jen.
Welcome back, girls.
Yes, welcome back.
Good to be back. Like, it's been a while.
Yeah, instead of going 2 weeks, we are on our third week now because Free Comic Book Day was last Saturday, and I had to postpone our recording because I just had a lot of stuff on my plate to get done for that Saturday, and so we put it off a little bit of a week. I'm honestly still recuperating.
Same, big mood. You more so than me, though, because of your leg.
Absolutely. It was a full event. It was...
You want to know that's what's funny? Is that I've had multiple people who apparently, people listen to our podcast.
Thank you for listening, guys.
I've had multiple people come into the shop and say, oh my gosh, I know who you are because I heard that you broke your leg on the podcast.
Totally, man. Cool. Shout out to that one gentleman who said that our podcast was the first one he's
yes!
ever listened to.
Ooh.
And we are the only pin that he has on his entire backpack.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for coming down to Comic Book Day, and thank you for listening and supporting our little podcast here.
Thank you.
So guys, what were the highlights of Free Comic Book Day, Heidi Ho Comic Con for you guys?
Well, for me, it was seeing Jaime draw.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
he is so skilled. Like, mm-hmm. This is obvious. Like, we know, but there's a difference seeing someone who's been doing this for years draw versus some of the more, like, newer artists. I have friends who are artists, and they stream online, mm-hmm. or they just, like, they do sketches and doodles and stuff like that, and I usually hang out with them, but seeing Jaime work and just the speed and the quickness, and like you can tell that he knows these characters by
yes.
heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he knows these characters, and he could probably draw them in their sleep, quite literally.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool, mm-hmm. and I liked talking to him, and he told us a little bit about like. We talked a lot about slang and
yeah.
the development of slang, mm-hmm. and I thought that was pretty cool.
He was just so easy to talk to.
He was very easy to talk to, and that was really cool. Was seeing him draw.
So for those of you who are not aware, Jaime Hernandez from Love and Rockets fame was Comadres y Comics guest at Heidi Ho Comic Con on Free Comic Book Day last Saturday, May 5th, which also happened to be Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
And so he was our guest. He was one of our guests in our booth, and he is such a trooper. He was there from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And he, for however many people that came by, he mm-hmm. signed however many things that he wanted, that they wanted for him to sign, and sketch and talk to them, and did mm-hmm. interviews. And he was just such an amazing part of the event on Saturday. So I definitely have to piggyback on Jen saying that that was one of my favorite things about Heidi Ho Comic Con, being that Love and Rockets Maggie the Mechanic was our very first book that we ever reviewed. I feel like it's only been a year. It's been mm-hmm. a year that we've yeah. been doing our podcast.
Yep.
Heidi Ho Comic Con 2017 was our very first public appearance. It was our coming out party.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Oh
yes,
God,
and
yeah.
I had to work outside, and Jen had to work the register, and Sarah mm-hmm. was so nervous.
Yeah, she was so nervous.
Because she had to do it all by herself.
Dude, I remember thinking, I'm going to probably have one of those irritable bowel syndrome kind of moments. So I even brought air freshener on my very first appearance, because I was like, oh my God, I'm probably going to fart because I'm nervous. And actually, I wanted to piggy off of that, because I actually think doing these appearances has cured some of my anxiety, like public speaking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that the first time around, I got really nervous. And you know, anytime I meet anybody famous, I start sweating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this time I was like mentally preparing for Jaime. And, we're on a first name level basis now, but I mentally prepared for it like weeks and weeks. And so when I saw him, I didn't sweat or cry, which is great.
Yeah.
So I, you know, like I feel like this has cured some of the anxiety I used to get from meeting famous people or talking in public. Mm-hmm. So this has been awesome for me.
Cool.
It's something notable. And it's so notable because, I had such strong reactions when we first met him. Now that he's at our booth.
Mm-hmm. You know? Honestly, last year, like I said, Heidi Ho Comic Con was our first public appearance. And then the very next weekend, just as it is the same this year, was East LA Comic Con, which this year is, same show, different name, East LA Cape. Mm-hmm. And, we met Jaime there for the first time, and when he came to our table, and I started telling him, "Oh my gosh, we're Comadre Sin Comics, and this is what we do, and this is what we talk about," and Maggie the Mechanic was the very first. I started getting kind of like misty eyed and like emotional telling him that, and so that was kind of what I was starting to say is like, it's only been a year, but I feel like we've already in one of our journeys has already come full circle.
Exactly, absolutely. I love this story. It's really wonderful. You know, if you would have told me a year ago that I was going to ever meet Jaime Hernandez, and not only that, but be sitting at our booth at a Comic Con having a beer with him, I would have never believed you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was just fabulous. Just sitting there, just chatting, having a cold beer after like a full day of a convention was awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some chisme about Jaime. He prefers lagers and pilsners.
Yes, he does. Yeah, I wanted to surprise him with something like really like, you know, heavy and hoppy. But no, he prefers those, and that was fine. It was great. And, and then later, Nathaniel Osoyo stopped by our booth and we had a beer and it was just great.
I missed that part. I don't know where I was.
I was already gone. Yeah. I was just all like, bye.
Yeah, he stopped by to say bye and I'm like, hey, you want a beer? And then we just sat there and kind of just talked and stuff and it was great. Everybody was great. The staff, at Heidi Ho was amazing. So hardworking, I felt, and just seeing everybody like Fan Base Press, the guys from Pole Noir, and it was just awesome. Just seeing they're all drawing, they're all you know talking, and Monkey Monster cosplay coming over and his saying hello and chatting with us, and seeing Richard Cardenas, who has his own podcast, and he actually had us on his podcast, Interview with the Nerd. Mm-hmm. I love him. He's so nice.
He is.
He's chocolate. So
it was great.
Yes, and he made me a Black Panther beanie.
Mm-hmm. It was so cute.
Oh my gosh. I love it so much. My only complaint is that it's the beginning of summer and I'm not going to be able to wear it as much as I want to. Although I live in the South Bay and even during summertime it gets cold at night. So whenever we go out, I have a beanie usually.
There you go.
It was so thick, though. I didn't.
Yes, it was very thick.
I didn't expect it to be so thick and so like warm.
Yeah. Really I will have to share. I will have to share a picture of me with my beanie on our Comadre Sin Comics. I think I shared it on my personal Instagram, but not Comadre Sin Comics. So
exactly.
So that you guys can see. Next thing you know, he's gonna be like, "Why am I getting all these requests for Black Panther beanies?"
Special thanks to our other guest, Melina Chavarria. She does the magic glasses.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to read her book. She was telling somebody else about her
book. I think
book.
You left it.
No, you know, I left it with your pile of stuff, so I didn't know where you wanted me to.
It's in the car, yeah. Okay.
When she was doing her spiel for somebody that was interested in looking at her book, I was like, oh my God, I want to read that.
It's
like,
so good.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's so good. I was telling her that as I was reading it, the voice that she gives, the main character, who lives with her mother and who I believe is like in her early 20s, trying to figure out what's what to do with her life. The voice she gives her within the interactions that she has with her mother and just the whole Latino cultural stuff that interplays in with that relationship and also her decisions in her life. They were so, like I told her she did it so well and so realistic and believable. And I was, telling her that, I loved it so much. I can't wait for her to, continue to read her story where it goes.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like I said, just listening to her talk about it, I was like, oh, I gotta read that. the gentleman, and the, his wife who came over to see us too, Café con Leche, mm-hmm. they have a blog.
Yes.
They came by to visit us as well. I thought that was awesome.
That was fun.
What
we fell in love with them as soon as we heard their names.
Did you guys know that his business card, like their business card, in the back there's a guacamole recipe?
No!
No!
So cool!
Oh, that is cool!
Yeah, I'm like, they'll never throw it away now.
That is, yes! That's awesome!
I'm like, that's bloody brilliant!
That is brilliant!
Shit, we gotta, yeah.
We're gonna steal it!
We gotta step up our game, we gotta put some kind of recipe down there.
You know, there's just so many amazing things that happened at the Heidi Ho Comic Con. This is the one that I've had the most fun, the most interaction with everybody else. I just like a butterfly, like, you know, coming out of her cocoon. But one of the cool things was, there was this gentleman. He was standing, just kind of looking over who was there, like, you know, as far as, the vendors and so forth. And then he turns around and he looks at Jaime. And he turns around again, and he turns down a third time, and he looks at everything, like the whole setup.
Yeah.
All, like, he comes over to him. He's like, oh, my God, I just want to tell you that I love your book. I didn't know you were here. I didn't know you were going to be here. It's just the best surprise ever. And then he gets his little girl, and he's like, this gentleman wrote the comic book that got me through college.
Aww.
And I thought that was so genuine because he did not. He had no idea
yeah.
what was happening. I said, you know, just follow us on Facebook. We're going to always tell you who's going to be guests at the comic book event.
That dude is a regular at Heidi Ho because he can't. I was standing there when right after. He's like, I didn't know he was going to be here. I said, where have you been? I said, I have handed you a flyer, and I said it to a lot of people, and I know that I told
it
you.
To your face.
Yeah, I said, I know I've told you because you're brown. And he's like, I didn't know. He's like, I don't read those flyers.
Oh, the truth comes
yeah.
out.
Oh my God. That's hilarious.
That was super cool, because I guess even with, like, all of our advertising and, like, some of our regulars or even some people who just came in didn't know that Hyman was
yeah.
going to be there. And mm-hmm. then they would come in and then they would be like, oh, my God, I love your comic.
Yeah.
And like, and that was really cool, too, is just seeing some of the old regulars
yeah.
come in and say, I was like, oh, I remember when you used to come to old
yeah.
Heidi Ho. And I was just like, oh, my God, that's so freaking cool.
Yeah.
And they would talk about, like back when the store was like owned by Bob and Rob
mm-hmm.
and like all the like different indie titles and stuff like that, and how like that was really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was amazing. And what was another thing? Ah, shoot. This was my favorite part. So I'm finally able to look over the stuff that Jaime brought, you know, to sell and you
mm-hmm.
know to autograph and so forth. As you may or may not know, he has written a children's book. Which
they must know because we talked about
yes, so he had plenty of those, and they're translated in Spanish, so he gave me 2 copies. Thank you so much. They're awesome. I just finished reading it. Amazing. Loved it. But not only that, part of the stuff that was on his table, I just found out that Jaime Hernandez is more hardcore than I could ever imagine to be. He had a Christian Death cover 45 album that he designed the cover for. Christian Death, okay? Had no idea he even knew who Christian Death was. He had the Adolescents. He also had a cover that he designed for them. And there, he said that there's another 45 floating out there of the weirdos.
He
and
is hardcore punk.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
I mean, I hear it, but to see it with my own eyes, I was like, dude, I'm not worthy.
There's this stereotype. stereotype that once you get older, you are, yeah. you phase yeah. out of that yeah. stuff. And that's not true. Look, I fully plan on being 50 and still saying that I'm a freaking emo. Like, this is legitly the truth. This is, and it's something that you don't phase out of, but even sometimes I fall for it because, he is older, but he's still very much punk.
Yeah.
He's so punk.
And I so wanna know, awesome. I wanna know his thoughts about new punk. I wanna know, like, what he, where he thinks the scene is right now. Well, like, and stuff like that. I didn't get to ask him that because I was tired.
Yeah.
And it didn't occur to me, but he is still very much punk, and that's so, so fucking cool.
It was. I was like, Christian Death, really? Wow. You're like super awesome. But, it was just awesome. He brought in some like guests that are hardcore. They actually uh-huh. got in line.
Yeah.
Got in line, had him sign a bunch of stuff, got back in line.
Yeah.
Had him, they got back in line like three times. And I thought, man, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. And, Cafe con Leche guy, he also is hardcore punk.
Cafe con Leche guy.
Hardcore punk.
They're, we didn't remember your names, guys. Send us an email.
Well, I know his wife's name is Beatriz.
It was like they started talking punk, and all I could do was do that meme where, you know, how Homer Simpson hides in the bushes?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's how I felt. Like, you guys have out-punked me. Like, I am not worthy. I'm just going to, you know, kind of fade away in the background here. But it was, everything was awesome. Unfortunately, Melissa Sanchez, she wasn't able to come. She had some health issues, but thank you for supporting Melissa, the people who came by to see her specifically.
Yes, she had some fans and friends come by looking for her, and we had to, unfortunately, you know, share that she wasn't able to make it, but she was definitely there in spirit and in art, because of course she's the person who designed our logo. So our logo was behind us on our huge brand new banner.
Woohoo!
And
it looked amazing.
Yes, and it
this.
Did look amazing. And Melissa's very talented, so we hope she's feeling better. But we definitely had her there in spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just one more favorite thing. I don't know if you guys remember, there was this little girl. She had, I think, a Hulk sweater, and she started to talk while she was waiting in line for Jaime with her dad. She started to talk about a book she's read called uh-huh. Dragons Love Tacos.
Oh, yes! Yes.
So then we're like, we need to read
yes.
that book.
Uh-huh.
So we get our inspiration from everywhere, including six-year-old little girls waiting in line to have Jaime Hernandez sign their dad's comic book. So,
and
yeah.
she said there were two volumes. Mm. So.
Oh, wow. She was so cute, too. It was awesome. Just mm-hmm. hearing her talk about the books that she was reading and how excited mm-hmm. she was that we were listening to her and that we were going to read the books, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
So that was our little spiel on Heidi Ho Comic Con. And next year, now you know you have to come.
Yeah. You don't know who we could have next year.
Exactly. And one of my favorite things was the fact that, let's see, 1, 2, 3, at least 4 of the Heidi Ho Comic Con guests were creators who have books that we've reviewed and also who we've just come across at other mm-hmm. conventions that were Latino creators that we specifically invited to be part of Heidi Ho Comic Con because we were just so enamored with their work, like mm-hmm. Po Noir mm-hmm. and Quinta was already there last year, but of course Quinta was there, yeah, and you know how much we love Quinta.
Yeah.
And Nathaniel Soyo with his Shadow People mm-hmm. and his other cool VR stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it was cool. I don't know. It's like there's something about this crowd that's so welcoming and so uplifting. Every time I see them, they just put a big smile on my face. I think what they're doing is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was our little spiel on Heidi Ho Comic Con Day. So be sure to put that on your calendar next Free Comic Book Day, guys.
Always the first Saturday in May.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And now for Chisme de la Semana, we have Jen.
And I have 3 pieces of chisme.
Chisme.
I love gossiping. Anyways, so the first big major news is that it is official, Fox has canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh no!
Tears. This is on their 5th season, which I tragically have not caught up on. But It's really sad because the cast was super diverse. It was super hilarious. It had an actual bisexual Latina, confirmed, Rosa Diaz.
I love her.
I love her. And look, I love her. I love her for many reasons, but she is... she's the epitome of every Latina crush I've had.
And she's the actress who was vying for the America role, wasn't she?
Stephanie Beatriz.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
And it's, there has been a kind of like a campaign, started on Twitter to save it.
Oh, nice.
So, yes. So actually Lin-Manuel Miranda is kind of spearheading this because he really, really loves the show.
Awesome.
And what they're trying to do is get it picked up by either Hulu or Netflix.
Yeah.
That'd be
great. That would be great. So they still have 2 episodes to go before the season wraps up and like there'll be no more. But if there is enough reception, if there's enough people who go out and say like, I still want to see Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I still want to, like, this was something that I would watch. It's very possible that Netflix or Hulu will pick it up like they did, like Hulu did with the Mindy Project.
Mindy Project. And I have to say, Mindy Project only got better when it went to Hulu because a lot of the restrictions that I think were placed on, the production of the show, on primetime TV, I think we're kind of lifted because it's not cable, but I don't know what the specific definition is of Hulu and Netflix, but they've got a little bit more risque.
Oh,
their jokes were a little bit more like, you know, borderline. And so it, to me, really improved it. And I loved Mindy Project regardless, but I thought that it really, except for the ending, I wasn't too excited about, but, I love Mindy Project, so if you, just a little side note, watch it.
Yeah, it's really great, but I don't really know what exactly caused the cancellations. They're saying, viewings and ratings, but the ratings for it haven't dropped at all. It's still funny.
Yeah.
It's still really good and still gets good reception.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just, I think a marker of the bigger TV changes going on.
Mm-hmm.
That, especially like, kind of like a lashback against diversity in TV and everything like that. And just, it's, let's be real, it's Fox.
I never make that connection.
Yeah. and so, yeah, it probably was cold for something else that they're gonna try to make room for, but I think it is something that's worth saving and that I would still love to see. Cause it's like, even though it's supposed to be like this, some people have accused it of being police propaganda, and I'm just like, mildly valid, but it's still like, it's still kind of like, it's still pretty funny, and I think it's really real and really authentically genuine in a lot of its topics that have a lot of humorous tones.
Mm-hmm.
But above all, it's super fucking funny. So,
it is really funny.
Yeah. So I highly, highly recommend watching it and take to Twitter or anything if you really want to keep seeing it. I believe Hulu and Netflix have like these outreach programs of like, what would you like to see? On our websites, like feedback and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm,
and some of the feedback can be like, oh, please pick up, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Cool.
All right. Moving on to the next one. Annette Bening joins the cast of Captain Marvel.
What?
Yes.
I like her.
And so Annette Bening is, I believe, what is she? A 4-time Oscar nominee?
Oh, I don't know. I know that she's been nominated, but I don't know how many times.
Yeah, I think she has been nominated 4 times, but rumor has it that she is joining as the mother of Captain Marvel.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Have we seen any storylines with a mother in comics?
That's just the thing, we haven't.
Interesting.
Ooh, maybe not in the movies. There's probably something in comics. Just the thing is that, Marvel might as well have a subscription that says Daddy Issues comics. Because let's be real.
Oh, shit.
Look, comics suffers from a plethora of daddy issues and dead mommies.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And that's how, like, I guess you can cause angst and stuff. And this is kind of like a trope. Not only just right. in comics, but in like literature, in a lot of fantasy stuff, games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a trope. But I'm excited to see this because, like, there hasn't been a lot of like mother storylines.
Yeah.
Or mom's present. Yeah. Like, Frigga gets fridged in Thor 2. Mm. Or is it Thor 3? I think it's Thor 2. Yeah. In Thor 2, she dies. She's Thor and Loki's mom.
Yeah.
Or an adopted mom in right. Loki's case. And we only got that one view of Claire's mom from Luke Cage. And that's from the movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, not from the...
TV, yeah.
From TV. And I can't think of any other...
Well,
mother figure.
Poor Star-Lord's mom got a brain tumor.
She died literally within the first 5 minutes.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And it's just like, it's something that I'm excited to see. Especially, Captain Marvel is going to be the first woman-directed film by Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So
which is, yeah, okay. Which is interesting in itself, and let's see how well they do, because she's writing it, yeah, but she's a co-writer.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just leaving it to a woman.
Yeah.
It's going to be somebody else as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be, I mean, you can make an argument for that in that Marvel has a bigger franchise and has more stakes in the game than DC. But it's still just kind of like, okay, why didn't you just let her write this mm-hmm. on her own kind of thing? Like, what, do you not trust that she can do something, or like, what's the deal?
I'm just really interested to see this movie, to see what they do with Carol, and to see how it all comes out. Because, you know, I think regardless if we mean to or not, it's impossible to not compare it to Wonder Woman as yeah. the big successful feminist icon movie that came out, mm-hmm. and it's hard to not kind of place Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel's character, kind of at that same level when you, especially the comics run in the comics. One of the things that I love about her character is that she was a fucking kick-ass woman before she got her superpowers. Mm-hmm. It's Captain Marvel. It's not just a made-up name. She's a freaking captain mm-hmm. in the Air Force.
In the Air Force, yeah.
So that's what excites me about this, is that it's a depiction of a strong woman, who then gets the superpowers, just the same way of why I really love Moon Girls, because she is smart outside of her superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important. That's a very important distinction that I think a lot of people miss with both of those characters. Mm-hmm. That they just assume that their badassness comes because of this outside thing that happened to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's not true. I think even in the comics, she actually makes the jump to Colonel.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I think you're right.
Yeah, to Colonel.
You're right. Mm-hmm. But she is higher ranked than Captain America.
She's higher ranked.
But she doesn't make a big deal of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's super cool. So she is military-wise, she is higher ranked
yes.
than almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
In the comics universe. And so it's, I'm very excited. Maybe not as excited as I would have been. I'm kind of getting Marvel burnout.
Not me! Bring it on! Let's watch Infinity Gauntlet for the 50th time!
Speaking of which, great movie.
Oh yeah, if anybody hasn't seen it, it was entertaining.
I loved it.
I loved it too.
I have blocked and reported all of my Facebook friends who say the opposite.
I liked it. I'm not saying I hate it. It was entertaining, and it was definitely a lot better than Justice League. Still,
oh god, what isn't better than Justice League?
I haven't seen
freaking
that.
I think Garfield is better than Justice League.
I still want to see that because of my boyfriend.
Smurfs.
But
your boyfriend makes up all the good parts of that movie.
But
by
I just
the way.
Haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. And
you're
so,
not missing much.
But it's just like, I have my criticisms of the movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all movies, definitely, I think you can find valid critiques on, but I loved it 150%.
Yeah.
I like that rating.
We won't get into spoilers because it's only been like, what, a week or two?
I think it's been two weeks.
It's been two weeks. Yes. And I don't know why that feels like forever.
It does.
It's not.
It does.
When you think about it, it's really, really not.
Yeah.
Because my conception of like when, I guess a lot of movie culture has changed where you have to see it on opening day.
Mm-hmm. I did. All by myself. I was there at 6 o'clock on Thursday.
Same. We went for my little brother's birthday. It was me. It was basically six of us.
Yeah. And I, unbeknownst to me, obviously I didn't know what the post credit scene was going to be. I had my Captain Marvel sweatshirt on.
Nice. Did everybody ask you, what does that mean?
No.
That happened when we saw it also on Thursday at 7. And then this lady who was very loud throughout the movie, very enthusiastic. Mm-hmm. And towards the end, when they showed the clip, she's like, what does that mean? So my brother turns around and he's like, Captain Marvel. She's like, oh! She still didn't know. She probably went home to...
Look it up. I accidentally blurted it out loud. The movie theater was very quiet after like when it was being shown. Uh-huh. And then when I saw it, I blurted out Captain Marvel and then a lot of people were like, yeah. And I'm just like, oh crap. I brought attention to myself. I don't like this. on to the next chisme. To those of you unaware, because I certainly wasn't aware, The Predator has dropped a teaser trailer.
Yes!
The Predator is coming back! Yes! Woo! Now!
Those movies used to scare me as a kid.
I fucking love them.
I love them.
I've never seen them as an adult.
Dude is so good!
My baby goth ass was in love!
Oh my god! Somebody needs, listeners out there, if you are an artist, if you're a creator, please draw baby goth Jen.
Which is really funny because
it'll be
mom...
our first piece of fan art.
Oh my god. The funny thing is that my mom used to dress me up in a lot of pink.
Yeah.
And so, but inside I was not pink. I wasn't pink at all. So a lot of the old baby photos are me in pink.
Yeah.
But usually doing something. I love The Predator. I first watched it when I was six.
Mm.
Yeah, you can blame it on Latino parents. Hey, just stick them in front of the TV and see what happens.
Yeah, Channel 13, huh? During, like Saturdays or Sundays.
Yep.
Like kind of like dinner time. Mm-hmm. That's what we used to do. We used to like get pizza and we would watch that too.
Was Schwarzenegger in these movies?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The first one, not the second one.
Not the second
okay.
one.
Okay.
Danny Glover was in the third one, I believe. Anyway, they're so good. I'm sorry, I could go on about The Predator, but yes, you're right.
So, Predator is one of those movies that is up there with, like, I will watch no matter what.
Right.
Kind of, like, again, with Rocky movies, Karate Kid, Rambo movies.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Predator is up there.
Yes.
I've given up on Alien. I don't watch anymore.
What?
Alien. Yeah.
Why? Oh, because of the new ones?
The new ones.
I've never seen Alien.
Oh, so good. Especially when they meshed Alien and Predator together. Yes.
I watched those two. They were alright.
I did read Archie Meet versus
Predator. I read that too. That one's great.
It was good. It was good.
I watch all the Predator movies that have come out. I don't watch any more of the Aliens movies after Prometheus.
Okay.
Yeah, has only been like one or two. There was Covenant. There was one other one, I think.
I remember hearing a lot of negativity around Prometheus.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
But either way, so Predator, I will watch. So I'm excited for this.
I'm excited for this too.
It's just a teaser trailer, but they've already have like, I hadn't even been aware that they were going to be making another one.
Me neither.
What number is this?
I don't know what number this is.
Are they starting from scratch? Because that would be cool.
I don't think they're starting from scratch. But the teaser trailer includes Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us.
Ooh.
Trevant Rhodes from Moonlight. Yvonne Strahovski from The Handmaid's Tale.
Ooh.
Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele. Boyd Holbrook from Narcos. And Olivia Munn.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice. Olivia Munn, the Psylocke from X-Men?
Yes.
Yeah, her. Anyway. Yeah, her. But it sounds like a strong crowd.
It sounds strong. And I mean, you can have strong actors, and if it's a shitty script, they'll still pass through. But I'm still gonna go watch it. It's
heck yeah.
I'm not going to Predator for classy sci-fi filming. I'm going there for my gore, for my, shitty city pseudoscience.
Yes.
And, weird aliens killing people.
Yes.
That's literally it.
It better be rated R. I better see some guts and shit. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it has to be.
Yeah. So I very much love the Predator movies, and I'm very, very excited for this.
Me too.
What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it.
Beer!
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer!
Now it's time for beer.
Yeah, so we have this amazing bottle of beer in front of me. It's called Genie in a Bottle. It's actually super cute. And it's from a local brewery to me in, Torrance, California. It is, exactly a 1 mile jog slash walk or slash sprint, depending on how thirsty I am for beer.
Thirsty.
But it's a mile from my house. And this is the brewery called Dudes. It's the Dudes Brewing Company. And this is from their Sandbox series. I don't know what that means.
Me neither, but it sounded pretty interesting.
And it is an Imperial Red Ale. It's ale aged in Kentucky bourbon barrels with Ooh. California cherries.
I'm already loving the sound of this. Once you said barrel aged, I was just like, all right, okay.
And this is really interesting because their beer kind of is... The brewery itself, the theme is the dudes, the Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. dude, you know the dude.
Ooh.
Really? I can't wait to smell it. so it's the theme is the dude. So there's like really relaxed, kind of like loungy in your robe kind of style kind of beer, you know, the stuff that you drink
Look
at
that
home
red.
And hanging out.
Yes.
So
it's
this
very
is the
red.
First time that I've laid my eyes on a barrel aged from the Dude's Brewery, and I got this at the Torrance Cellar.
Oops.
Is that what it's called? The shop, the Torrance Cellar? The one that where they have the tastings?
Yeah, Torrance Beer Cellar, I think. No, it's something like that. But those three words are in it, but I don't think in that order.
And this is let me tell you God. How much it's,
It's Craft Beer Cellar Torrance.
Thank you, Craft Beer Cellar Torrance. It's a really nice place. They have like a little section of Belgian, European, style beers, which I love.
They're so super nice there.
Oh, they are. This is 12.8.
Holy smackerel.
Can
you, I don't know where my glasses, so can you?
So, this bottle, as I have mentioned, this beer is called Genie in a Bottle. And on the side of the bottle, it says, your first wish has been granted. It says, you're thirsting for something big and bold. Well, dude, your wish is our command. This barrel-aged pellet bomb bursts out of the bottle and assaults your senses. Which it did. Did you hear me when I opened it? First, you'll encounter the audacious mouthfeel. I love that word, mouthfeel. The audacious mouthfeel of an Imperial Red Ale backed by the sweet undertones of tart cherries. And just when you think it's over, it hits you hard on the backside. A plethora of barrel-aged flavors. Rub that bottle and see what magic awaits. I love that. I love that.
I'm sold.
Right? That plethora.
So, yeah, Dudes is in Torrance, California. I'm going to check the address in case you guys are local and you want to head out. But while we are tasting it, I will look up the address to give out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the smell alone was amazing. I'm so glad. I mean, I know we're into barrel ages right now, and I think this was just kind of a celebratory after a hard work and good work at Heidi Ho.
I'm in love.
Every time I smell it, it's like the backs of my mouth where my saliva glands are, they like start to like contract and my mouth just starts getting ready.
Well, salud, guys. Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yes.
Well, Jen says she's in love.
Ooh. Yes. 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 Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I can taste the berries.
The berries are really good and there's like a nice, I mean, you taste them right away, like as soon as it hits your tongue.
You know what this is? Mm-hmm. It is, okay, I've already told you, Sticky Monkey to me is a sipping beer because it's so, the mouth feel of Sticky Monkey is very thick and like syrupy. This is like a gulping Sticky Monkey. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, like I could gulp this like, to enjoy drinking with dinner or whatever, but it's just, it's not too overpowering. The taste is just, yes, the barrel aged flavor in there, the bourbon is so good. And yeah, those cherries.
And then there's absolutely almost very little aftertaste.
Yeah.
Like it's,
it really dissipates.
Yeah, exactly. I thought this was a really good choice for this review only because we haven't done Dudes. As a beer, that we have rated on here, and yet they deserve some recognition for being local and being so freaking cool.
And they have a great, during summer, they have really great beers. They have a blood orange.
Oh yes.
That's so good.
The juice box is good.
Yeah.
The double trunk is one of my favorites. You can basically, if you want to kind of, they actually have a four pack of four different beers that they sell at Costco. So you can get an idea of what kind of beers they brew. But even going there, usually there's a sale on Groupon where you can get like a taster.
Yeah, and then I see people coming with that all the time.
Yeah, and then they get two free glasses. So it's worth it.
The glasses are cute.
They are really cute.
So yeah, this is a 1 pint, 6 ounces. And it is 12.18% alcohol by volume as Sarah said. So this is, even though the mouthfeel of it, you might be tempted to gulp it, I would highly recommend against it.
Yes. Like I took one big gulp and then I'm like, oh, I gotta relax.
I'm about to finish mine because this is dangerous.
Yeah, I'm gonna start slurring pretty soon right
already?
Here. Yes, already. I'm kind of glad I ate before I drank this because,
well, girls, there's like half a bottle left, so.
And I only have one
beer to review. Top me up, please.
So are we ready to review this beer?
Yes.
I'm going to go, you know what? This is a really pleasant surprise for me. The berry flavor.
Well, you hadn't tasted it before?
I've never tasted it before. I'm really glad it's amazing. So I'm going to say, Super Saiyan on this one.
Ooh, Super Saiyan.
Yes, I'm going Super Saiyan on this one. I'm really pleasantly surprised. The flavors are so on point. There's no weird aftertaste or prolonged aftertaste at all. And it goes down really smooth. And the smell alone is just a bouquet of happiness. So, yes.
Well, just as a reminder, our little... we have a 3-level rating for our beers. It begins at flaccid, then initial, then partial, then full, and then rigid is the 5th one. And if something is just freaking amazing AF, it is Super Saiyan. And so Sarah definitely is going Super Saiyan with
She's feeling it.
Genie in a bottle.
Yes. I am totally feeling it.
I'm going to go with rigid because although I really, really like it, and I like how, I was almost about to finish my entire bottle before, my entire glass before, Kristen topped me off. I wish there was an aftertaste in that I wish that I could still...
Look at Jen!
Woo! Oh, wow.
The
evolution of her taste buds.
Yes.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, because I like the ones, like, I believe the one that we had before, Sticky Monkey, and the one that we reviewed in our last episode.
Parabola?
Yeah.
Parabola?
Parabola.
Thank you guys, because I always do that.
Parabola, I like the aftertaste and the fact that I can still taste it, like, on my lips and on my tongue afterwards. This one, not so much.
Yeah, but I enjoy the berries. I think it's very much enjoyed the berries. Yeah, I thought it really, I don't know, it was such a beautiful marriage of everything in this beer for me.
Yeah, it's really good. I really do like it. I have found that I really like these bourbon aged beers.
Okay, good. I keep saying this, but I definitely need to bring my favorite, which is the Allagash Curio. Ooh,
I can't wait. I have a little shout out to Compton Eric from the Mustache Cash Stash podcast. He acquired these cute little tasters, and I think they're just perfect for this.
Yeah, they are. They're from Stone.
I think they kind of open up, you know, kind of like have it air out or whatever the wine people call it.
Breathe.
Thank you. Yes.
It breathed.
So what do you give it, Kristen?
I am giving it also a rigid. I am more partial to wheats and, IPAs and pale ales. I'm not a fan of red ales at all. So the fact that I'm giving this a rigid is actually pretty good, because generally red ales are very sweet, and this is actually sweet, but it's really good. I really enjoy it. But I gotta say, when I drink beer, I'm really drinking beer, and I expect to have more than one, and I don't think I could have more than one of this. It's so rich.
Oh, absolutely.
But the flavor is there. I mean, it's a rigid, but that's the only thing keeping me from Super Saiyan.
And I think that's why I go Super Saiyan, because with one of these bottles, I'd be like, full life. It would be super cool. Like,
I'll drink the whole thing, and I'll keep drinking, because God damn it, I will do it.
So you got it, guys. That's two rigids and a Super Saiyan for this dude's red ale genie in a bottle. Thank you, guys, and check this out. I mean, definitely it's worth looking for this to buy it and actually have a good taste. That I recommend serving it right out of the refrigerator.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And now, Juntos y Fuertes with Kristen.
So, usually we do Juntos y Fuertes at the end, but today we are going to be piggybacking off of our Juntos y Fuertes for our actual book review. And so, today we are going to talk about Lion Forge Publishing Company. Lion Forge is actually a company that was founded in 2011. So they're, what is that, seven?
Yeah, seven years old.
They were formed by David Stewart II and Carl Reed specifically to give ethnically diverse creators an outlet to create ethnically diverse characters. So that, to me, is really an amazing thing to do, to start a company specifically to gear towards giving diversity and diverse creators an opportunity to create diverse books. Mm-hmm. So the company began as a digital publisher, but experimented with print comics in 2005, and then when digital sales began to kind of plateau industry-wide, it expanded its print line in the summer of 2016, which I remember starting to see Lion Forge comics coming into the shop. Yeah, and we would order some, and they seemed to do really well with our customer base. Our customer base is heavily indie. They heavily lean towards indie titles, and there are quite a few people who come in and specifically have Lion Forge stuff on their pool. Mm-hmm. So by late 2017, it had grown, and it has now 30 employees, and they're located all over the place. It's a pretty big company now. They have people in St. Louis, Chicago, and New York. And so I think that is super awesome. they started kind of acquiring other like little imprints as well. So they have something called Comics Beat. In October 2017, they purchased a journalism site, which is what Comics Beat is. And they also have something, their imprint is something called Roar, which is for young adults and teens.
Yeah.
So wow. It's kind of a take on the lion theme. Then something called Cub House. It's their imprint for children 12 and under. And then they have Magnetic Press, which presents an array of socially engaged and reflective titles from the indie genre. And then Catalyst Prime, which, let's see, it's their superhero imprint.
Yeah, ooh, nice. Stuff.
Yeah, so they have lots of different imprints that they use to put out all kinds of different genre of comics. Some of the titles that we have in the shop are Claudia and Rex, Aberato, Ghost Money, Jazz Maynard, which I loved. The art was cool, and just the whole vibe of like jazz in the 20s. It was really cool, and the story was really awesome. Taproot, which
I love Taproot.
Yeah, it's so cute. It's I don't know what age.
It's YA, definitely YA.
Okay, so the description of Taproot is, Blue, the character, is having a hard time moving on. He's in love with his best friend. He's also dead. Luckily, Hamal can see ghosts, leaving Blue free to haunt him.
Aww, that's so sweet.
Doesn't it sound so cute?
Cute. Like, I mean, there's an element of sadness, but it's so fucking cute.
Yes, so, Juntos y Fuertes, definitely, if you have an LCS, ask them about Lion Forge titles. Some publishing companies, some titles don't get ordered right from the beginning because, local comic shop owners there's so many titles to choose from every month, they don't really know what's going to hit and what's not going to. So if you have an interest in any of these books, and they have many more titles that I didn't even talk about, do some research, look to see what they have, and ask your LCS to order some. Put a title on your pull list. Some of these books are probably going to be having trades coming out soon. Mm-hmm. So support these small independent publishing companies, because that's how they survive. That's how they thrive, is by people learning about them and buying their comics.
By word of mouth. Yes. More so than Marvel and DC, because everybody knows who Marvel and DC
right.
is. And even stuff like Image and Dark Horse and Vertigo are pretty prevalent, but some of these smaller presses don't get that advertisement, and that's what we're here for.
Yep.
Yes.
So, yes. Applause all around. The reason why I'm highlighting Lion Forge today is because they are the publishing company of the book that we are going to review. And I think I mentioned it in a prior episode. I don't know if it was on my radar or Chisme or Juntos. I don't even remember. But we finally have a real, true, in-life, hard copy of Puerto Rico Strong. So this was the comic anthology that was created where all of the creators, the writers, the artists were Latino, were Puerto Rican, and it was made supporting Puerto Rico disaster relief and recovery after Hurricane, what was it, Harvey?
Maria and Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think one of the things that highlights this this title amongst others is that I think 100% of the sales go towards that relief.
Yes.
So these people donated their time, energy, and talent for a very good cause.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all 100% of these proceeds go to Puerto Rico Relief, which is still very much in desperate need.
Absolutely.
Of help. I mean, it's just, you don't recover from that in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. So, I mean,
and the response,
running water, just debris, no electricity. I mean, you name it. These living conditions are very harsh, and a lot of people still don't even have any cell phone reception or anything to get a hold of their loved ones in the States.
Some of the stories that I read specifically around that, about how people were flying there searching for their families because they could not contact them. It was so, it was so heart-wrenching because they didn't know what they were going to find when they got there. And I started thinking, like, if there was a natural disaster, I think about that a lot, actually. because we live in such a big city. And when I worked downtown and Eddie worked from home, even though that's about 20 miles, getting 20 miles in Los Angeles when a disaster happens like that, I mean, you see them in the movies. You can't drive down the freeway. The streets are packed. There's people running crazy all over the place. And so even just getting that small distance, and if you didn't have a cell phone and not being able to contact them and not knowing if they were okay, just 20 miles thinking about that is like heart-wrenching. And to think about these people who are flying, you know, across the United States and onto this little island, and then the devastation that they saw when they landed, that kind of really made it, like, you see things on TV and you see news reports, but these stories that were told was just so, like,
it was heart-wrenching. Yeah. And it made it even more true.
Yeah.
It's, and I think one of the biggest things that I got from this book is that how many people still don't realize that Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory.
Yeah.
These people are U.S. citizens. Mm-hmm. And the response, and let's be real, the response that they have received, not only from the president, but from every others, makes it very obvious that the reason that they haven't been helped is because they are brown.
Yeah.
That's literally it. That's literally why they haven't gotten any FEMA response, any relief from the U.S. It's because it is a brown territory.
Mm-hmm.
And people think, I think in the statistic the book said is that 50% of Americans don't know that Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory.
Or and don't realize that the Puerto Ricans who live in Puerto Rico are U.S. citizens.
Are U.S. citizens.
Right.
And it's just they don't want to offer their condolences or their help because it to them they think it's another place. Like, oh, well, why doesn't their government take care of it?
You are the government.
The U.S. government is the one who's supposed to be responsible for this, but they don't.
Oh, I love this book. We can't really center on a specific story
There were so many little stories in here. That's the thing. It's an anthology, and I didn't expect for there to be so many stories.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I like, even between the stories, there was some poetry. There was some artwork. Not many between the stories. Some of them just would flow into the next story, but I appreciated that too. The artwork, the poetry.
I think just really quickly, I counted 40.
40, yeah. Really?
40, Jesus. Well, I'm going to highlight my top three favorites.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I wish I would have thought of that. I mean, all of them were awesome, but go ahead.
All of them were awesome. One of my favorite ones was Arreitos. Illustrations and colors by Jamie Jones, or Jaime Jones. Words by Vita Ayala and letters by Micah Myers. And it is about, a Taino warrior who gathered all of the other Taino and tried to lead a pushback against the conquistadores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't succeed. But the story that they were telling, I've always loved stuff that's heavy in mythology.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this one is. And I really love the artwork for it because it's kind of smoky and very watercolor-esque. And in this one, the Taino leader, he is asking a woman what it is that she saw. And she said that, "I see your death."
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on about how, well, that's how it is, and I still have to do this.
Yeah.
Because it's my duty and it's my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And if I don't do this, who else will?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was the message of that story, is that if I don't commit, who else will?
It was like Doctor Strange in Infinity
War. I guess you could say that. My second favorite one was the one about food.
This man, he was being hired.
The sous chef that wanted to, he was trying to get the job.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the lady was trying to tell him, you know, you're going to have to cook for me to see what kind of dishes you're going to serve. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm so nervous. I have never had anybody watch me.
Yeah.
Like, and then they made the popular reference of like, what is it? The chef, show. And, yeah. And, but then the story that happens after that is really touching.
Yes. Yeah. And so the story is called Cocinar by Vito Del Sante with art by Yehudi Mercado. Oh shit!
Yehudi!
Oh, fuck! I didn't even know that.
What?
Okay.
That was an aha moment.
We know Yehudi.
Yeah, Yehudi actually, does a couple of different books for fan-based press. He does, does Hero Hotel.
Right.
And I can't remember what the other one
is.
We gotta do that one.
Yeah. But,
Go
ahead.
But, oh my god. Okay. I should have really recognized the artwork. I was just like, this art looks familiar. It didn't click. Sorry, Hootie. But it is about the sous chef who is trying to, get a job, and he, and even the woman who's hiring says, like, what do you cook for? What's your reason for cooking? Mm-hmm. And the reason I really like this one is because, I love food. I love food. And, I very much love food. I wouldn't be this big if I didn't love food. But.
I think it's safe to say we all love food.
But food in itself has a special meaning for me because I only really cook for my family.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. For my family and friends. That's it. I don't. Whenever there's a big event or something and stuff like that. And, when I've been to Guatemala, even with my mom, I learned how to cook when I was like 5. And so food has a very special meaning. And I do eat a lot of junk food. That's because it's good. Cooking itself, I don't ever like cook for myself. I always cook for a lot of people. Whenever I cook, I'm basically making servings for 10.
Wow. Yeah. No,
because it's just like, because either one, if I'm cooking, there's always going to be like, oh, are you making some for me? Or two, like, or two is like, they immediately assume that there's going to be food for them as well. So they just take it. So I have come into the practice of cooking for a lot. I cannot cook for one. I cook for like 5. And so I really like this story because he, in his explanation to the woman of why he cooks and why he wants to be hired, he goes on about how he learned cooking from his grandmother. Mm-hmm. And whenever he makes sazon, it's like his grandmother's presence is there. And I was just like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's
and I like the reference they made that they said, when we're cooking, we put it on Facebook and then everybody just starts coming over.
Everybody comes over. Yeah. And you say, oh, I'm making this. I'm just like, oh shit, I'm coming over now. Whenever like I post something on Facebook and my brother who doesn't live with us, he sees it, he's just like, oh shit, I'm coming over. and it's true, like, it's just, especially for, when my madrina says that she's making pupusas, your girl is over there. Your girl is there, she is on the spot, because she doesn't make them that much anymore, and so when she says she's doing it, your girl is there.
Yeah.
I love her pupusas.
I mean, I think all cultures in one way, shape, or form, have this, tradition around food. Mm-hmm. I know that, my husband's family, they're European, they're Italian, and when his aunt makes what's the little potato balls called, gnocchi, when she makes gnocchi, it's like an all day thing, you know. She boils the potatoes and she rolls them out and then she makes the sauce and all this stuff, and it's like a big production. And when they, just like how you're saying, when your Nina
madrina
your madrina uh-huh. makes Papusa, same thing. If they hear that, that his aunt is making gnocchi, they are all like, okay, and it's a big deal. And then everyone like communes around that food.
I love that. It's a, like, we gotta go now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now my third favorite one, and this was a close one because it was going to be this one or stories from my father. It's of myth and monsters. And it is about this family who's going to Puerto Rico because I guess their dad is like some kind of archaeologist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was excavating. He was going back to see if his site was safe, yeah, and secure. And he goes there and he's just like, oh no, it's not. But while he's there, something awakens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's basically a captured spirit who immediately attacks him and says, Spaniard. And he says Spaniard, and I guess something that roughly translates to terrorist, mm-hmm, or murderer. And
colonizer.
Yeah. Yes, he says colonizer.
Yeah.
And he basically attacks the dad and knocks him out. And then he turns on the children. Mm-hmm. And
but the mom is fierce as fuck. She's like, yeah, no, you're not touching my children.
Yeah, you're not touching my children. And that sparks something in the spirit. He recognizes them, mm-hmm, as Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. As he calls Boricuas. Boricuas. Yeah. Taino. Mm-hmm. And, he's just like, and then he stops his assault. And that was really, really cool. And I really, really like that. And I thought, again, the artwork was very, very nice.
Yeah.
And I really like those. Those were super cool.
I like that one because, like you said, that, you know, the mythos about it, the magic and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I like how love basically releases this soul. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was great. That was really well written.
So the one thing that struck me in this book and in most of the stories that were included is the way that I'm sure these creators didn't all get on Skype or on a phone call or write letters or whatever to say, you know, we're going to include this exact same thing in all the stories. But that's what really struck me as how important it was to have this book be written by Puerto Ricans, mm-hmm, is that the theme of, you saw it over and over again, is like, my mother always taught me that, mm-hmm, we are always there to help, mm-hmm, each other.
Boricuas are strong.
Yes.
And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and, no matter what, like the story where they were, there was a son and a father who were going back, mm-hmm, to see what had happened, and they had food. I guess they were looking for his father and his mother.
Yeah.
And,
abuelitos, yeah.
Yeah. And they were going, and on the side of the road they passed I don't know, it was a man and
it was a family
a
in
family
need.
Yeah. In need, yeah, in need, and the little boy was like, let's give them some food, and the dad was like, but that food's for our family, and he's like, but you always taught me that whenever, yeah, that we're all family, we're all from this island, that we're when we always help family. And so that theme was throughout all of the stories almost, and it was so like culturally relevant to have, like, obviously these writers, these creators, that's something that has been instilled in them as well as Puerto Ricans, as people who have either grown up on the island or who have experienced culture, but, you know, in the United States. And it's just, it was very, very overpowering, that whole theme. Mm-hmm. And to me, I learned so freaking much from about the history of Puerto Rico, mm-hmm, and the colonization and the I kept in my head saying Taino. So I don't know if it's Taino or Taino, but, about.
Boricua, please tell us.
Yeah.
am I saying it right or am I saying it wrong?
about how, you know, the indigenous people were there, and then, you know, the Spaniards came, and then all of this stuff happened, and it was just so, interesting, the story of how they came to be who they are now, and how such a small percentage of the original Taino blood is still you know, running because of all the mixing and stuff like that. But it just, it was so amazing to me. The history of that island and of those people and how, just like Jen was saying, how they're denied so much. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like she said, let's get real, because of the fact is the color of their skin. Mm-hmm. That the fact that they don't even have a say, and I think we talked about this in our last one, they don't have a say in our elections, yet, one of the stories in here mentioned how, actually have tons of say in what goes on there, mm-hmm. but they don't have any say.
And that they were still drafted.
Yes, and that they were drafted.
All the single wars. Yeah. Every single one
and
of
that,
them.
And they were encouraged to come to the United States to work and to take on all of the brunt of a lot of the workforce that, that needed help during the wars and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was just very interesting to me, very educational. I really enjoyed, enjoy is not the right word. I was very interested in the story about the hysterectomies and birth control that was forced upon women.
The forced sterilization.
Forced sterilization that these women didn't know that it was forever, that it was permanent, that they couldn't go back, and all these, I am just imagining all these people, all these women who went through this and how it has affected their bloodline and their family and everything, because they were not able to have children.
Yeah, actually, that story is called Family Ends With Me. The writers is Lilian Rivera and artist is Allison Strigelau. Mm-hmm. But that, yeah, actually, that was one of my top three. Mm-hmm. And it was just devastating to read that. They couldn't have clinical trials here mm-hmm. in the U.S., mm-hmm. so they kind of worded it in such a way that they weren't really letting the women know what they were signing up for.
Right.
And they didn't even really sign up for it. They were kind of like, la operación, I think they called it.
Yeah.
And it was sterilization. And I'm just like, that is horrible. Like, I didn't even know this happened. And this is Sarah. And actually, I was talking to Jaime and I'm like, you know, I'm reading this wonderful book, Puerto Rico Strong. And I go, it's so amazing to actually learn something that you weren't taught in school.
Yeah.
And I go, if you pick something up, I really highly recommend that mm-hmm. one, because it's not only entertaining, which is the wrong word.
Yeah.
but it's also educational. And when I read something that teaches me something and I'm just like, dumbfounded why I didn't learn it before.
Yeah.
I'm just like in awe, and this book does that for me.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's for a good cause. So mm-hmm. There's so many stories here that teach you different things. And like Kristen was saying, she was saying that it touches on how they're brought up with all this love and the support for your people. And, you know, like you help each other out and you're all family. And, you know, the bonds of what that food bring to us.
Yeah.
Is also a relevant in here. And I actually, reading this book, I want to go to Puerto Rico.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was like mentioning it to my husband and I go, I want to go hear the coquitos.
Yes.
And I want to go. And he's like, but it's not a good time to visit. And I go, you know, I want to see those caves where the dino drawings are. And I mean, all of that I learned from this book.
Yeah.
And I'm just astounded. It's such a great book. It's such an amazing mixture of many stories that are just amazing. And one of my other favorites was Para Pasitos Grandes. And that one is stories from Tristan Tarwater and art by Cynthia Santos. And this is kind of a futuristic, it's kind of like a kids on a field trip. Yes. And they have a guide that's guiding them through the history of Puerto Rico. And it actually takes place in the future. So, in this story, a lot of Puerto Ricans were first colonizers in space.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they're like, do you dare to be, you know, like your ancestors before you who, took that first step? Mm-hmm. You can be that person who, you know, starts life in other planets. So I thought that was a very,
that was a really cool one.
Yeah, it was sort of really hopeful and beautiful. And I love the art. The art was really awesome on that one. That was one of my favorites. Also, Blame It on Rico by Albert Tito Serrano. It's this Puerto Rican painter, comic painter who paints on walls like a kind
oh,
of
oh, yeah, in Brazil. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and he's in Brazil. And one of my favorite things is like, because you know you're out, you're creating your art on a wall out in the city, so people are gonna stop and question you or have comments or unnecessary critique. And one of the things is like, well, what are you? And he's like, well, I'm American. Mm-hmm. He's like, but you're not blonde hair and green eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's really funny. That made me laugh out loud because when I went to Nicaragua to visit, they're like, what are you? And I'm like, I'm an American. And they're like, brown. And one of my favorite things was I had these Chucks that were like torn and dirty, and I was just gonna leave them there because you know I wanted a pack to leave stuff there and then come back home with cool stuff for everybody, and then they're like, I can't believe you're gonna wear that, and I'm like, what are you talking about? The that white guy has ripped jeans and stuff. He's like, yeah, but he's white. You're dark. And now I'm like, really? You just said that to me. Wow. Okay. But yeah, I really like the story.
They have no filter.
They really don't.
I really like that one too because I get that feeling, and even here in the States.
Yes.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, because of where we work, I have been confused for Filipina, Italian, really? Native American, some kind of Asian, as someone once lightly put it.
Some kind of Asian?
Some kind of Asian. And I'm just
are you some kind of Asian, man?
Some kind of Asian. I don't think they understand the words that are coming out of their mouth. Yeah. I've been confused for Moroccan. I've been confused. Well, the Mexican one makes sense.
Okay.
Because, like, it's the go-to one. Yeah. California. A lot of Mexicans. And so I'm not really like, I'm just like, I get confused by Mexican. So that's perfectly
It's because you're tall.
It's because I'm tall, yes. And so when I say that I'm American over there, they believe it because I'm taller than everybody there.
Right?
But but it's just like, I don't understand how some people can be, to me, it's rude. It's just like, bro, you don't need to know. Calm your tits. That information is between me, myself, and I, and you are butting in. But it's that one. Yeah, that one was a good story.
Yeah, I love one of the lines he says. He's describing himself, a Taino who survived the ravages of Spanish crown, was assimilated to an already complicated American culture and managed to thrive in an equally nuanced Brazilian society, which I thought was like really clever writing there.
We're adaptable.
Like put that on a t-shirt. No, but yeah, no, this book was amazing.
Well, my last one that I wanted to say that I really loved is La Casita of American Heroes.
Oh my God.
Which,
Jesus, just trying to rip my heart out.
Which was one of the stories that we were talking about where, they are flying to Puerto Rico to make sure that their family is safe because they can't get a hold of them. Mm-hmm. And, in the beginning, is this the one where she's talking about how they, or is that another one where they were living with her in the States? But no, I think that was just the mom that was in the other story.
I think so.
But what was really,
I think those parents retired to Puerto Rico once they,
there you go.
Yeah.
What was really, touching in this story and also kind of infuriating is how when they go to the house to look for, family, which is the mom and the dad of this woman who is there, there's like literally a car that is just crashed into the middle of the house. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, there's a panel of the woman who is narrating looking at the scene and just crying. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, just like, I don't know what I'm going to find when I go inside, but she is a war veteran. Mm-hmm. And she, in her narration, she's talking about how she's been to war and she's seen horrible things and she has to go inside, even though she doesn't know what she's going to find.
I think one of the things she mentioned was, I've seen so much yet I'm not prepared to see what I'm about to find. Might find, you know?
Right, yeah. So she goes inside and there's mud everywhere. There's trees. Everything is just in disarray. And she is a little bit relieved that she has, her parents aren't inside. She's like, oh, they're not here. And she knows she's kind of, you can tell in the way that the art is that she's walking, but like hesitation because she doesn't want to find her parents, hurt or dead. And, in walking along, looking, her daughter, who she brings with her, walks across all, this wall that is full of a whole bunch of photos, and she's like,
"Survived the storm."
Yeah, that survived the storm. Everything else is in disarray, but all these pictures are just completely, in perfect shape on the wall. And she's like, "Who are these people?" And she's like, "Well, that's familia." And she starts to tell her daughter of all these people, on the wall. Her, abuelo, wait, her, her great grandfather from her abuelo side, who fought in World War I. He was one of the 18,000 Puerto Ricans that were drafted into military service in 1917, a few months after the Jones, Shafroth Act that made the Puerto Ricans American citizens in 1917. What happened to him? Did he die in war? She's talking a little bit about that. Then they come across another person who was part of the Harlem Hellfighters that was part of her family. And
yeah, because I like that explanation. It was because of the color of his
because
skin.
He was, yeah, because he was dark and the military was segregated. He had to fight because he was Afro-Boricua.
He was Afro-Boricua, but he was still black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was that person. And then there was, both of her great-grandfathers fought in World War II. On her abuelita side, they also fought in France and Germany. Guillermo, one of the other family members, joined the Navy and served on the USS San Juan. His sister, Clarita, enlisted in service as a nurse. Her actual, the little girl's abuelo served in the Korean War. And so, just going on and on. Three of her great uncles, Tomas, Ruben, and Steven, fought in the Vietnam War. So all of these family members who fought for the United States in the United States military, and then and she is a veteran and her husband is a veteran, and then to think of how they were treated and how they are treated and how just still to this day that
to be not called Americans.
Yeah, to be not called Americans and to be treated as less than is just so infuriating.
Yeah, and in that particular story, I think the daughter said that, that in school, because she was kind of apprehensive of why she had brought her daughter under the devastation of the hurricanes. And she's like, "No, Mom, I'm glad I'm here, because in school they said Puerto Ricans aren't real Americans."
Yeah.
And it was like, God, I can't even shield my daughter from this.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, made me tear up.
Yeah. And what's more real than all of that history of fighting for your country?
That just doesn't accept you.
Yeah, it doesn't accept you. Yeah.
Military culture is very, very much ingrained into the American consciousness.
Mm-hmm. But we can't say enough of this book. It's all the stories are amazing in some way, shape, or form. We just shared some of the standouts in our personal repertoire, but I feel that this whole book is amazing, and it's for a good cause, so I really highly recommend it.
I highly recommend it.
Are we ready to rate this book?
Of course.
Okay. Yes. Well, I am going to give it tres conchas and the whole panadería.
What was he making in that story? Little empanadas or something? Yeah.
Empanadillas.
Empanadillas. I'm going to give it three servings of mofongo, and if you guys haven't had it, it's fucking delicious. I love eating all kinds of foods.
Yeah.
And so I really like mofongo. Mofongo's good. It's sancocho.
I've heard of
everything.
It, but I don't think I've ever had it.
Sancocho.
Sancocho.
I always say it wrong.
But, mofongo's good. You guys should have it.
It's fun to say. Well, this is Kristen. I am going to give it the tres empanadillas. And what's a Puerto Rican drink?
Not sure.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure there is. I'm very, very, ignorant to Puerto Rican food, drink, because I think, the East Coast is a lot more.
Yeah, they have a lot more.
Yeah, they're
we're more ingrained with Mexican culture.
Yeah.
I'm not even hesitating on saying that. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So I don't know, but I'm actually, this has made me interested to see, like, where do Puerto Ricans who, live out here on the West Coast, where do they go to have a little piece of home? If you are listening to this,
Please let us know.
Yeah, let us know. In fact, Desiree Rodriguez, who is one of the, editors of the book, I'm friends with her on Facebook, and I let her know that we were doing, we're gonna read the book and we're gonna do a review, and I'm gonna ask her what she if she knows of any West Coast, Southern California, Puerto Rican legit places to go.
I'm gonna ask Rosario Dawson.
Is she Puerto Rican?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know what she was. I knew she was Latina.
Yeah, she was the one that works
with
the...
Oh, she's gonna do the Boriqueña.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Okay.
So I'm gonna ask her.
So I guess I did know.
What was I gonna say? Okay, just one special note. This is Sarah. I wanted to mention that, let's say you haven't read comics and let's say you haven't followed anything in the comic world for years. This is a great way to pick up a book and have all the stories kind of, resolved.
Short form.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Short form storytelling. It's an anthology book.
Mm-hmm.
There is no sequel for anything. I mean, the sequel is, will the U.S. do anything to help Puerto Rico? We're seeing the answer and,
I mean, the thing about this is that this came out about a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see anything on the news much anymore. Mm-hmm. But they're still suffering over there.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, please, if this at all in any way, shape or form interests you, ask your local comic shop to order it for you, because, the money is still going to go to a good cause.
To a good cause. Well, it's still available. It hasn't been out for long. Maybe a month.
Maybe somebody in your family has expressed interest in reading comic books. This is a perfect book to give them.
Mm-hmm. And this is a good way how you can contribute. If you don't really know, like, if you don't really want to donate it to, like, some organization because you think they're shady or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or you're not satisfied with what the U.S. is doing, but you want to do something and just don't know how, this is a way that you can contribute, is just by buying this book, and mm-hmm. you get some cool stories out of it.
And it is a low, low price of $12.99.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was 40 stories.
I thought it was 25. No, this is even better than I thought.
$12.99.
Oh my God, I'm so going to get this for people during Christmas. Because you know what? I'm not a really good student. I don't like to read the news or whatever, or even watch the news, but having history and it was fed to me in a comic book format, I'm in.
Yeah.
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 Definitely.
Yeah. And I've really seen a rise in the comic book industry with works like these. The first one that we ever saw was Love is Love,
mm-hmm.
which was for the Pulse shooting in Florida.
Yes.
And it helped those families financially with medical bills, with funeral costs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kristen. And there's this one, Puerto Rico Strong. And there was one before that, the Planned Parenthood one.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And now there's going to be another one, I believe, next month called Where We Live for the victims of the Las Vegas shooting.
Oh,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Where We Live. And all proceeds will go to all the families affected by the shooting and, again, for hospital costs, funeral costs, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think in all of those situations when we see the news coverage and the stories that are being reported, that for the most part, if you have any semblance of humanity in your little heart, you ask yourself, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something super simple that you can do and that you're going to get something really cool out of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jen, did you rate the book?
I said three servings of mofongo. Like,
you absolutely said that. I'm sorry. I always do that, guys. Mm-hmm. My gosh.
And that's a lot of mofongo. I'm like, I'm not even pushing it there. I don't know. No, there's probably somebody out there who eats.
Well, we all have rave reviews about this, so we all love this book. So pick it up, guys. It's for a good cause. And now it's time for On My Radar. And this is Sarah. What is on your radar, Sarah? Well, let me tell you. Dude, guys, On My Radar, Bill and Ted number 3. I feel that this is awesome.
Keanu Reeves is my husband.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Keanu Reeves, he's the awesome sauce of actors. I mean, the guy is amazing. He donates his earnings from The Matrix to the crew of the film while they were filming it.
And he gets such a bum rap.
He does, because of Sad Keanu, which...
look, anybody who gives shit to Keanu Reeves can personally fight me.
And he has such a sad story.
He does.
Was it his girlfriend, wife, or his fiance?
His fiance, I believe, that died in the car accident, and then... I think she was pregnant at the time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they lost the baby.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then his sister got cancer. Mm-hmm. And it's just, he's gone through a lot. But he's the guy that, I've never heard of anyone else, you know, in the acting world that rides the subway in New York. And he always gives his seat to someone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, if that doesn't say a lot about you, I don't know what does. And you know, he's a fucking, John Wick fame, cause he's like the action star right now. Mm-hmm. But yet he is gonna do like his breakout movie, Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted. Yep. 3.
And he's not above that. I love it.
I didn't even know there was a 2. I don't think I was familiar with 2.
Oh, okay. But yeah, there was a 2.
Was he in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to reprise his role, which I'm so excited for.
I'm going to watch it because, as I said, Keanu Reeves is my husband.
Exactly. It's they're kind of saying that it might be like a Christmas Carol type of Bill and Ted, but we're not sure yet. But they're both in and saying yes that they want to do this project. So I'm very excited about that. They're gonna have kids in this movie, so that's very interesting.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's gonna be directed by Dean Parasot from Galaxy Quest.
I love Galaxy Quest.
Oh, I used to have a sweatshirt that's a Galaxy Quest, and I wear it all the time. It's going to be written by Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon. It would, you know, continue to on with the whole time traveling exploits that happened during the first 2 movies. So rock and roll, Bill and Ted. Yes. I'm so excited about that. And the other thing that is on my radar is Rick Moranis came out of retirement.
I saw that.
Do you guys know who Rick Moranis is?
Yes, I do.
Yes. He is the man who was in Ghostbusters, the original movie.
Oh. Yes.
He also was, the helmet in, Spaceballs.
Yes,
So that was cool, and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids fame.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I love that man. And he actually went into retirement at kind of the height of his career to be a stay-at-home dad. So that means that means he's also cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Because, my God, I mean, what man at the height of his career decides to take time off to be with his kids because he wanted their growing up experiences to be as cool as it was when he was growing up with, you know, home-cooked meals and a parent, you know, there for the kids.
Stay-at-home parent.
Yeah, I thought that was great. So he is reprising his role that he did on the movie Spaceballs, and he's going to be in the Goldbergs.
I love that show.
It aired May the 9th, but if you missed it, you can totally catch it on Hulu.
Yes, you can. So that's how I watch it.
So I'm very, very excited for that. It's I can't wait. I'm very excited to see what he does with this. I haven't seen it. I know it just came out, but now I can stream it on Hulu. So I'm kind of like prepping myself. I'm so excited. So that's what's on my radar. Also what's on my radar is all the freaking exclusive, East LA Comic Con Cape stuff that's going to be at the East LA Comic an exclusive.
Lalo is making a print. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way. We need to talk to Lalo.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Lalo Alcaraz is going to have a print for that specific event. Monty Gomez's they have new pins, yes, which they look awesome. Yeah. I can't wait. Also, El Muerto, they have exclusive prints. And also, I think, buttons for the event of East LA Cape. Yeah. Nice. But what I'm really looking forward is towards Paul Noir's team. They have this comic that they're working on. It is called Chano's Bathroom Trip. Now, it's a weird name, right?
Yeah.
But I was fortunate enough to get a preview of the story. And, oh, my God, let me tell you. I'm so excited. it's actually the project of Janae Patino. She's the creator of the story. She wrote the story. Uh-huh. And it came to her, but she's working in a collaboration with Miguel Angel Acedo and Graham Sisk, who are
the artist. Yeah.
For Paul Noir. So he's hold doing on.
It took me a while before I realized you were saying Paul Noir.
What was I saying?
Paul Noir. Paul Noir. I'm like, what's Paul Noir?
I'm sorry. In my head, I was just like, she means Paul Noir, right?
Paul Noir.
Oh, I am so sorry. It must be the beer. What I mean is the Paul Noir. Am I saying it again?
Po Noir.
It's a tongue twister, guys. This is Sarah. I take full responsibility for that. Po Noir. For the Noir team. They are part of this Chano's Bathroom Trip. And let me tell you guys, just from the little bit that I've read, it's going to be an amazing story. And I can't wait for them to actually finish the comic book. But it's amazing. And the team, you guys know we're in love with the team.
Yes. So, Graham Sisk's art is just amazing. It's black and white, but it leaves nothing, you longing for nothing. You don't care that there's no color. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. But this story, I read a little bit, and I'm telling you guys, I feel it's sexy as fuck.
Ooh, so I'm in.
So I'm excited about that. I'm gonna totally go on a hunt for these exclusives at East LA Cape when I get a chance. So that's what's on my radar.
That's exciting. I look forward to that too.
Yes. Well, guys, I think that brings us to the end of this episode. Where can they find us?
Well, they can find us this Saturday at East LA Cape. It's going to be in East LA.
Yeah, at Gallo Plaza.
At El Gallo Plaza, same place as last year. And we will be there. We will have a lot of the books that we have reviewed. But either way, it's a free event.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a free event, and there's going to be even more exhibitors this year.
Yes, because they are expanding to outside.
Yes, they are expanding to outside.
Yes, and highly recommended. Please be sure to come prepared. Have some sunscreen, maybe an umbrella or a big floppy hat, because it's going to be hot, and because they're really diligent about having the maximum amount of people inside the venue, they let you go in waves of groups. But usually people are really patient and really nice. You know, pack up some water and just head on down. It's a free event, and you will not regret it. It is really amazing. There's so much talent.
It's a lot of fun, and we will be there all day on Saturday. Not all day, but as long as the
I don't even know. Is it 10 to like
10 to 5 or 6?
I think it was 6 last year.
We will be there. We will not have conchas, regrettably.
Wah, wah.
We will not have conchas, guys.
Yeah.
But we will have some swag. So come on down and we'll have some prizes. Are we going to have the raffle again? maybe an hourly raffle. Well, we'll think about it. Just come on down, take a picture with us, share it on our Facebook.
We will have books that we've reviewed in the past for sale. Mm-hmm. So, some of the books that you might have heard us talk about, we each picked a couple of our favorites, and I am going to also include try to get some Puerto Rico Strong books to have there as well.
Excellent. I love it. Ooh, I love that. I love that.
And besides that, in 2 weeks, the week after this one.
May 19th and 20th.
Yeah, May 19th.
That's 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks. I'll trust you because I can't math. Can't even say Pot Noir.
We will be at Comic-Con Revolution in Ontario.
Yes.
Yes.
And we won't have a booth, but we're going to be having a panel with Fanbase Press.
Yes.
Yes.
So again, the Latinx impact on the comic book industry. And Jen and I will also be doing a second panel, which is stories of the LCS. So
ooh, yeah. I'm gonna be dropping off all these dirt bombs.
In case you didn't know or forgot, LCS is local comic book store. So
yes.
it's gonna be for some interesting listening pleasures there. So come on down if you're in the area. Please come on to our panel. It's at what time, guys?
Oh, the panel. Good question.
I think it was 11, wasn't it?
I actually can tell you if you stall a little bit.
I'm stalling.
She's stalling as fast as she can.
So we had plenty of conchas at the Heidi Ho Comic Con. So if that's what you're looking for, then make sure you put that on your calendar for next year. We will have conchas then, and maybe we can even serve some coffee as well. It wasn't so bad. I mean, some people were helping themselves to the coffee supply for the actual people that were participating.
That's right, they were.
And I thought that was interesting.
So you were correct. It is Saturday, 19th, at 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and it will be in room 106.
Excellent. I know it's early, one of the earlier panels, but we hope to see you there. And yes, we will have some swag and cards in case you stay after the panel. We always usually do that. Mm-hmm. We will also be at, what was the other event, June 2nd?
June 2nd is going to be a Tia Chucha's Words Festival, which is going to be in Pacoima at the Pacoima City Hall. And that is going to be... I believe that's an all-day event, too.
It's an all-day event, and it's also free.
Yes, it's also free. And Tia Chucha is one of the Juntos y Fuertes that we shared a couple of episodes ago, too. They do all that awesome stuff with youth and...
The theater, also, youth program, I think they have plays or something.
Oh no, that was, theater 0101.
Oh, okay.
The Words Festival is actually 2 to 7.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. So 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. So that's actually, I can sleep in. Yeah, but they did a little thing for us if you haven't seen it yet today. They took this picture off of our Facebook, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it's, you took the picture, so you're not in it, but it was Jen and I looking through comics.
It's okay because I feel that it's highlighting my professional picture taking abilities because I saw the ladies, if you haven't seen the poster, picture, it's, they were looking through long white boxes for comic books at a convention. And I thought that was such a great shot because Kristen was wearing our t-shirt. So,
and I was just looking fabulous.
So I thought I'd capture the moment.
So Pacoima City Hall is 13520 Van Nuys Boulevard in Pacoima. You can go to tiachucha.org for any other information. And I had mentioned to you previously that I was going to share with you Dudes Brewing, information. They are in Torrance and they're located at 1840 West 208th Street in Torrance, California, 90501.
Excellent. I love it. And as always, you can find us on Facebook
and Instagram
and Twitter at Comic Comadres.
And Snapchat, which I should have done more Snapchatting at Heidi Ho Comic Con, but I was just Overwhelmed. Just overwhelmed with stuff that I missed it. But I did.
You were being a great hostess.
But I, thank you. But I would, I do have pictures and I will put them on the Snapchat in case you guys are interested in taking a look at our stories and what we do. So thank you so much for listening. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye guys.
Bye.